I want to continue along with what William Tyndale did and how God was working in England at that time. The Roman Catholic Church would not let him translate it, so he exiled himself to the continent of Europe. He met Martin Luther and did the first edition of the New Testament in Worms, and the Catholic Worms got him. They just missed him. That's a little joke. And as he and his helper, he had two helpers. One was Coverdale and the other was Rogers. And so he escaped, went over to in the area of the Netherlands from whence came Erasmus. And they had religious freedom there in the Netherlands. But in Belgium it was Catholic. So he ended up virtually alone with John Rogers in the end, and he started translating the Old Testament before he was arrested. He had it over half done, and you can get the modern version of Tyndale's New Testament and his Old Testament put together by David Danielle. He gives the history of it. And while he was imprisoned in Valverde, which was in Belgium, near Antwerp, he was in there for 18 months and he was given opportunity to recant and so forth because he was public enemy number one of the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church. Because one of the things that he wrote was the obedience of the Christian man, which King Henry VIII's second wife, Anne Boleyn, gave him to read. And he saw the means by which he could throw off the Catholic yoke. And so these things come together almost just like perfectly fitted gears. William Tyndale, through John Rogers, was finishing the Old Testament in Hebrew. William Tyndale was tried. He was in prison from 1535 until May 1535 until October 1536. He was tried and then he was executed. They brought him out to the stake before he was to be burned. They gave him a chance to recant and he said no, he wouldn't recant. So they tied him to the stake. They had a noose run through a hole in the stake and put it over his neck. They put all of the wood for the fire to burn him as a heretic. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to compare all of this, his life, chased pillar to post, hunted down, finally betrayed by a friend, and arrested. And then the next time you complain how hard you have it, think on that. Okay? No. And he was faithful to the end. And his last words were, O God, open the eyes of the King of England. That was in October 1536. In 1537, John Rogers caused to be published the Thomas Matthew Bible, and I have a copy of the original. I've got also Danielle's Tyndale New Testament and Old Testament, I've got a copy of an original King James 1611. I have an authentic printed version of the Stevens New Testament text of the Greek. I have an actual New Testament that was printed in 1550. Okay. There's a lot of history that goes with this. God answered that prayer of William Tyndale because in 1537, toward the end of the year, Henry VIII broke away from the Catholic yoke and commanded that the Bible be put into every church and commanded that if a person could not read, the state would, or the church would provide a reader for that person. Then one of his helpers, Miles Coverdale, he translated the Old Testament. Shortly after that, Bishop Cranmer translated the Old Testament. So literally, England was flooded with the Word of God in preparation for the end time. After Henry VIII died, then Mary Stuart came in. Catholic regime was instituted for a few years. Then later she was removed. And Elizabeth, the daughter of Anne Boleyn, became queen. And that was the signal moment when God began to raise up Israel to fulfill the promises that we read earlier, that they would possess the gates of their enemies, they would push the nations, they would bring the Word of God to the world. And if you haven't seen the DVD, or when it comes on television in your area, get the one on Elizabeth. Now, there are a few risque scenes in there, but you're all adults. I'm sure you can handle that. But the history is absolutely something, how the Catholic Church was out to kill her, to assassinate her, to poison her, to get rid of her. And one of her advisors wanted her to marry Prince Philip of Spain so that it would be retained within the Catholic realm, and God did not want that, and that never happened. And after one of her attendants died from a poisoned dress that was given to, meant to be for Queen Elizabeth, they poisoned the dress, she put it on and died a terrible, vicious death. And God gave her a guardian. I forget what his name was, Lord something. He did away with all of the descendants of Mary. She became Queen of England. And her words were that I am married to England. And England started out at the beginning of her reign as one of the poorest countries in Europe and ended up as the richest country in Europe after her 42-year reign. And the dominant power in Europe at that time was Catholic Spain. And Spain was determined to get England back for the Pope with the Spanish Armada. Well, God took care of that. And that's how then the British Empire began. And ended up being a company of nations. Then the brotherly fight between Ephraim and Manasseh began, and America was set apart to fulfill its mission as a great nation. And as a nation, these two nations, we have published more Bibles in more languages and caused it to be spread around the world than any other people in the history of the world. Yes, the French had their Bible Society, the Dutch had their Bible Society, but it was the British and the American Bible Societies that provided the Bibles around the world. Yes, they brought Protestantism, which is carnal Christianity. But you had to have a carnal Christianity, but you had to have, first of all, the Word of God. And God knew that the carnal Israelites could not handle the things for conversion. So out of that structure then came the churches of God. With the English-speaking people. It always existed from, you know, down through history. If you don't have the one on Israel, the Alps, be sure and get that. The Waldensians and then the Celtic church also was involved in a small way. But now here it is, a big way. Word of God in print. The Bible was the thing that was the main instrument used by the people of America. Now, America was to take, along with Britain, the Word of God to the whole world and show them God's way. But what did we do? Back at the turn of the 19th century, even the Supreme Court said, this is a Christian nation. As far as a carnal Christian nation goes. And where are more churches of God than any place in the world? America. And where are there more Bibles than any place in the world? America. Four for every household. But what did Ephraim and Manasseh do? Let's come to the book of Hosea. Okay. Book of Hosea. Let's come here to Hosea 7 and verse 4. See, instead of taking the Word of God to the world so that the nations of the world would have decent government, have decent laws, get rid of their paganism, Ephraim and Manasseh chose once again to become like the nations. Verse 4, Hosea 7, they are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceases from rising after he has kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners. That means made agreements with them. They have made ready their heart like an oven while they lie in wait. Their baker sleeps all the night, and in the morning it burns as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges, and all the kings are fallen. There is none among them that calls upon me. Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knows it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, and he doesn't know it. And the pride of Israel, now that includes all of Israel, testifies to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all of this. Ephraim's like a silly dove. Without heart. When you see some of the silly things of political correctness coming out of England, you wonder, how did they become that way? It's because they left God. They called to Egypt and went to Assyria. And when they shall go, I will spread my net upon them and will bring them down as the fowls of heaven, and I will chastise them as their congregation has heard. So now we bring in the church in the midst of it. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, brought them back, yet they have spoken lies against me. They have not cried unto me with their hearts when they howled upon their beds. They assemble themselves for corn and for wine, and they rebel against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet they do imagine mischief against me. They return, but not unto the Most High. Witness 9/11. Oh yes, God bless America, God bless America. Whoop. 2 years later, God curse America, God curse America. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue, for this shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. All right, let's see what has happened. Let's carry this a little further. Come back to chapter 4. Why are we in the trouble that we are in? And why do we have the immigration problem that we have? And why are the politicians blinded? Okay, let's pick it up here. Verse 6, Hosea 4. We'll come back and look at some of the other things here in chapter 4 in just a minute. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, seeing that you shall be no priest to me. That goes right back to Exodus 19, where we began, right? Yes. Seeing you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. See, we have rejected God. Let's see what it's like. Let's come to, hold your place here in Hosea. We'll be back. Come to Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1. You look at this nation, and I can't help but think God's hand of punishment has come and come and come like the waves of the sea. And we refuse to return. So then he sends more and he sends more and he sends more. Pick it up here, verse 2, Isaiah 1. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for I have spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Even the religious ones. How many have had confrontations with their Sunday-keeping preacher when you started to understand the Sabbath? They all know which day is the Sabbath, and they know that's what the Bible says. See, that's why we have in the New Testament and the coming Bible Rome's challenge to the Protestants. Because Rome says, you're all dumb, ignorant, blind Protestants, and you think you're following the Bible, but you keep Sunday, and there's no place in there which says to keep Sunday. That was the Achilles heel that brought the children of Israel away from God when he restored them through Britain and America. And then their preachers and ministers all became liars and hypocrites. And it even affects even in the Church of God today. You want to know why the Church of God is scattered the way it is? Because there are too many people who are brethren who follow wild things that are just not scriptural. And there are too many ministers standing up and saying, oh, give me your money, let's do this, let's do that, let's do the other thing, rather than looking in the Bible to find out what does God want us to do. See? You know, all the correction that has come to the church of God, a lot of them haven't learned, have they? No. They'll let a man beat them up, take their money, and then refuse to talk even to their own children because they don't attend the same church. So it's affected the nation. It's affected the church. See, rebelled against God. The ox knows his owner. And the donkey, his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider a sinful nation a people laden with iniquity. We'll talk about some of those in a bit here. A seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the top of the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Because of all the sins. And we'll talk about the worst sin here in just a bit. Your country is desolate. Not quite yet, but it will be. Your cities are burned with fire. They have been from time to time and will be again. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. Why? Because you want to become like the nations instead of becoming the nation that God wants you to be, to teach the rest of the nations how they should be. So if you want to be like the rest of the nations, God is going to send them by the thousands and ten thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions. And the daughter of Zion is left like a cottage in a vineyard, and as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. That is the church. And then secondarily, those few who still believe in keeping most of the commandments of God. We should have become like Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Oh, yes, they're religious. They have their ceremonies, but they won't repent. So God says, all these things don't count anymore. You repent and come to me, he says, cease to do evil, learn to do good, but they won't do it. Then he says, if you rebel and refuse, you're going to be devoured with the edge of the sword. Let's come back here to Hosea 4. And let's see how we got to here, and then we will cover some historical things which will show you how it happened. And we need to settle one issue concerning the Constitution of the United States. Though it may be better than other constitutions of other nations, it is fatally flawed. That's why we're in the mess that we are in. And for people who say, let's get back to the Constitution, it'll never happen. Your only hope is to return to God and to be saved out of the mess when it's God's time. Okay, Hosea 4 and verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. Now that's all Israel. England, America, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, the Netherlands, Belgium, France, the Jews, all of them. The Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land, and they're trying to strip it out of everything. And they are succeeding because of the greatest sin that has been allowed. By swearing and lying and killing and murdering, stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Let's talk a little bit about killing. I believe we are where we are, and the immigration problem is what it is because the children of Israel, instead of producing offspring, have killed them through abortion. And they think that God's judgment won't come, but it's going to come. And it's going to be absolutely incredible. How long down the road? We don't know. But it will come. Now, how many have seen In the Womb? When you see that, what you are watching is God's creation of another new human being. And we are killing the most innocent in their most vulnerable time of life when they're being formed. And if the mother, for her whoredoms, will not protect her own children when they're in the womb, you have reached the lowest point that could possibly be. Now, can be repented of. But, just like during the days of Manasseh, God said, I am going to judge. So the judgment is going to come. See? And it will come big time. How did we get to that point? All right? Let me cover some things. Let's look at a timeline of some recent history. And remember this, deception by incrementalism. That's how it comes. So I put this together. I had actually had Ron Carey, our webmaster, do this for me. And I think we will find this very, very instructive. Okay, here's a timeline in history. 1859, evolution. Charles Darwin. 1881, Westcott and Hort. Taking down the New Testament. 1912 was a signal point in the history of America. Woodrow Wilson was elected as president. 1913, the Federal Reserve Act set up to take away the wealth of the nation. 1913, 17th Amendment, direct election of U.S. Senators. 1914 to 1918, World War I, 13 million civilians killed, 8,500,000 soldiers killed. 1919, League of Nations, first effort at creating world governing body. U.S. didn't ratify it. 1920, women's suffrage received the right to vote. If it would have ended there, we wouldn't have the problems that we have now. Because, you see, the goal is to free women not so they can be equal with men, but so that they can have all the rights of men and women. And there's something that happens that I've mentioned before, but let's come back here to Leviticus 19. Now, some women are going to think that I am against women. I'm not against women. But why is the feminist movement against men? You see. And against children. Leviticus 19 and verse 29. This goes right along with abortion. Do not prostitute your daughter. Look at those poor, pathetic adolescents, 11, 12, 13, 14, on up into their teens. The reason they look like prostitutes is because they are. To cause her to be a whore, lest the land be filled with whoredom, or fall to whoredom rather, and the land be full of wickedness. Does that not describe America and Britain today? Yes. Think about it. Let's go on. The Roaring Twenties, they had a lot of drugs then too. 1925, the Scopes trial and beginning of kicking God out of schools. 1929, stock market crash. 1929 to 1941, Great Depression. If you won't serve God, if you won't love God, if you won't obey God, if you live in this land and you pollute it and you defile it and you ruin it and you destroy it, I'm going to send you drought. I'm going to send you storms. I'm going to send you war. I'm going to send you sickness. Because you won't carry my name to the world like you were supposed to, I will carry your name to the nations and they will destroy you. World War II, 56,125,262 deaths, estimated. 1945, United Nations to replace the UN, or the League of Nations, rather. Wait till you read my new letter. World government is coming. And the way they set up these regions of nations, every single nation that belongs, that are the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, will lose their sovereignty through regional structure of nations. How many have read Late Great USA? Okay. If you don't have it, I have a few books you can write in for it. Okay. 1941, first TV sponsored in New York City, and that's when only the few wealthy who control the world determined they would control what people would see. Is that true? Yes. The pill, 1960. When you teach them to become whores and take away the fear of pregnancy. And now it's backfiring because there's estrogen in the water, estrogen in the food, and it's making men feminine and causing breast cancer galore in women because they want to be whores. ...1960... sexual revolution and all the drugs that go with it. ...1962... environmentalism, some good, some bad. 1963, prayer kicked out of school through the Murray versus Corlett. 1964, 1963, school prayer and Bible reading outlawed. 1963, the Beatles began their music to hypnotize the youth. 1964-65, free speech movement and obscenity rallies. 1967, free love movement entwined with the history of feminism, challenged the institution of marriage, and many advocated its abolition. Just live together. The New Age. 1997, Harry Potter. 2008, A Course in Miracles. I'll have to give a separate sermon on that. By Oprah Winfrey, to bring in Eastern Deepak Chopra Hinduism to the masses of the ignorant American women who think that emotionality is all there is to life. Which includes the belief there's no sin, no evil, no devil, and that God is in everyone and everything, so you have a pantheism. Now, yes, then we have all the movies of Lord of the Rings, Golden Compass, and watch on television. Sickening, sickening. Sets everyone up for thinking. Now, I want to ask everyone a very personal question. Not just those who are here listening, because those who are here listening, I'm preaching to those who believe what I'm saying. But I want to ask you, what occupies your mind? What goes into your mind? What music do you allow to go into your mind that you live by? And what are they doing to the teenagers? What is happening? They found a ring of young girls from 12 different families back in the Chicago area. With their cell phones, they would take pictures of their private genitals and send them to their boyfriends. And then one boyfriend made a collection of them all and tried selling it, and he got arrested for selling pornography. And they brought this to the attention of the parents, and only one parent was outraged. Why? Because there are millions hooked on porn online, hooked on sex, hooked on drugs, hooked on medication, hooked on television. Oh, you think they dare open a Bible and read it? You think they would dare come to God with confession of sin? No, but if they get in trouble, they cry out to God. God's not going to hear them. God's not going to answer them. What occupies your mind? Lust, money, sex, drugs, music. Those are all your idols. You have no room for God. You have no room for the truth. You want to kill 50 million innocent babies, and you want to be like all the nations of the world that God said, you are to take my laws and teach them. And you embrace all of their ways. And yet, I blessed you with the finest of everything. And you have corrupted yourselves. Back here to Hosea 4. If you've ever wept for America, now's the time. And isn't it something that those who were to bring the Word of God to the world have become worse than the pagan religions of the nations they were to help bring the knowledge of God to? That's why this correction is coming and the judgment is coming. Let's pick it up here in verse 6 again. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I will also forget you, reject you, and you shall be no priest for me, seeing that you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. As they increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore, I will change their glory into shame. Our power, our wealth, our nation, our institution. Britain is already gone. We will become captives within our own borders because our sovereignty will be taken over by regions of nations. Verse 8. They eat up the sin of my people, and they let their heart... Yes, and they let their... They set their heart, rather, on their iniquity, and there shall be like people the priest. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings, for they shall eat and not have enough. Commit whoredoms, they shall not increase, because they have left to take off heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart, and add to that cocaine, methamphetamine, heroin, prescription drugs, etc. My people ask of their stock, that is their idols, their psychiatrist and everything. Their staff declares unto them, the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err. You see, one commentator explaining about what happened to Nazi Germany in World War II, he said it was like the whole nation was possessed until the end of the war when it was broken. And then the people came to their senses. See, well, this whole nation now is obsessed and possessed of sex and drugs and play and sports and everything against God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains. They burn incense upon the hills under the oaks and poplars and elms because the shadow there is good. Therefore, your daughters will commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. Will I not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, and your spouses when they commit adultery? For they themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that does not understand shall fall. Well, we could go on and on with many different things here, but I think that says it all. Spirit of whoredoms has taken us down. Now, brethren, those who come into the church of God out of the world today are going to have a different set of problems than we've confronted. Now, we don't know exactly how much time we have left, but I think we have more time than we have anticipated. I will be bringing some other sermons on what men are doing, but I can tell you this. Satan is going to raise man to a near godlike ability through technology and implants and weapons. So then when it comes time for the return of Jesus Christ, which will be a universe-shaking event, it's not going to be some secret little call so all you self-righteous nerds in Protestantism can be swept up to heaven. No, it's going to shake the heavens and shake the earth, and the whole earth is going to see it and know it. And it is going to be an alien invasion from outer space because God is an alien to this earth. and the saints who will be resurrected are aliens to this earth. And so, brethren, we need to realize we, in the first resurrection, are the hope to save the United States and Britain and all the world. So that's how we got from there to here. This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442.